Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
Romans chapter 8 is where we're going to be today. We've been doing a series on freedom. 4th of July, you know, talks about our independence and our freedom. So we've been talking just for us as believers, the freedom we have in Christ and how to live out each and every day and week, month, and year in freedom. All right? And that is one of the basic fundamentals of maturity and growing in Christ, is getting a hold of our freedom in Christ and having the Spirit of God control our life instead of our sinful nature. So we started in Galatians chapter 5, where Paul says it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. He talks about living in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we live and walk with the Holy Spirit, we produce fruit in our life, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. If we walk according to a sinful nature, he also lists that too, just the things that come out of if we live according to ourself and what we want to do. We would like to believe, and I believe our culture would like to believe, that all people are good, right? Have you ever heard that? People are, for the most part, good. And there is some element to that based upon the culture you grow up in. I would say if you go up into the northern part or even in the Midwest here, if you get broken down on the road, you get a flat tire, somebody's going to stop by and help you out, okay? If you're in need, they're going to do the right thing. But we also know that Nebraska's Lancaster Jail is just brand new, and it's already packed out, okay? So that means that not everybody in Nebraska is good. And we all, if we're willing to admit it, we all wrestle with our sinful nature. And that's what Paul says. In Romans 7, he says, you know what? What I should be doing, I don't do. All right? You ever have that list? And what I shouldn't be doing, that I do. Okay? It can be as simple as taking that extra brownie that we're not supposed to have. That might not affect our spiritual walk as much as our health. Remember we had the illustration, right? The kale. Right? Karen has her stash of candy there. We had the illustration the one day of the cookies and the kale up here, and the kids unanimously chose what? The cookies, yes. There was no hesitation in that. And often we don't choose what is the best. We choose what we want right here, right? For the moment. So Paul talks about that. He concludes chapter 7, and it kind of lays the groundwork for chapter 8. And so that's where we're going to be today in Romans 8. But I want to catch the last two verses of Romans 7 to capture where we're at. Paul ends chapter 7, verse 24, by saying, "What a wretched man that I am," with an exclamation point. Okay? See, he sensed some frustration there. "Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus Christ is the solution. "So then I myself am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature I'm a slave to the law of sin." Verse 1 of chapter 8. "Therefore, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus." Wow. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature." See, it was able to point out what was right and wrong. It just lacked the power to help us to fulfill God's righteous requirements. And so here it left us stranding, saying, "Hey, I'm a sinner. but not helping us to change. Okay, and you see that throughout the Old Testament. You see that battle, that wrestling that people have. He was able to do that by God sending His own Son in likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering for us. He would take our sin upon Himself on the cross. And so He condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. See, God just didn't sweep sin under the rug. Sin had to be dealt with in my life and in your life. Of all those that have gone before and those that are still to come, sin has to be dealt with. Okay, because God is righteous and He is holy. And the way that God dealt with sin was sending His Son on the cross to die for our sin. He took our sin upon Himself so that God's righteous requirements would be met. In order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit of God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for Your word. I pray. I'm just thankful that it is quick, it is sharp, it is powerful, Lord God, and we just pray that it would speak to us today, Lord God. Apply it to our hearts. Help us to live every moment, every day, in Your presence and victory in You, Lord, and to know the freedom that is ours through Christ Jesus. Help us to live that out day in and day out. In Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Chris has a picture of a condemned house there, and if you could pull that up. You ever felt condemned? Yeah, and that's a condemned house, and a lot of times on a condemned house is a notice on the edge of the property and on the building itself saying it's condemned. Nobody's to go in it. It's not safe. You can tell this one has some foundational issues. It's beginning to sag and shift and come down. I wouldn't want to walk in there. But what does condemnation mean for you and I? How does that feel, to feel condemnation? Okay, you would be the rare person if you haven't felt it in your spiritual walk. But what does it feel like? Tell me. You feel guilty? Okay, what else? Trapped? Frustrated? Misunderstood? Feel like you're in a war zone? Worthless. You feel condemned. And condemned means that even though you might not be destroyed, you are destined for destruction. Right? You're condemned. And that's not of God. Now, conviction is of the Holy Spirit, right? Condemnation is not. That feeling that I am destined for destruction, that I am unworthy, I am good for nothing, that is not of God, that is of Satan. And it is one of his tools in his toolbox because he wants to get us discouraged. Because if we feel condemned, are we likely to go closer to God or pull away from God? Pull away, because we don't feel worthy, right? And so we pull away from God instead of drawing closer to God. Conviction will bring us closer to God. Condemnation usually pushes us away from God because we don't feel worthy. And Paul therefore begins this by saying, there is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And it is because Christ took our punishment, He took our guilt, He took our shame, and He took our condemnation. That's why there isn't any condemnation for those that are in Christ, because Christ took that when He went to the cross. Remember when as you read through the Gospels, or maybe you've watched the Bible movie, but first of all, He has the whipping, and they put the robe on Him, and they put the crown of thorns, and then He makes His way from there up the hill to Golgotha, right? And are people cheering Him, or what are they doing? They're insulting Him, right? Some of them maybe are spitting on Him. They're insulting Him. Why? Because He is seen as a criminal. And He's carrying our punishment. He hadn't done anything wrong. But see, he was carrying our punishment, our shame, and our guilt as he went to the cross. And even as he died on the cross, that was a form of punishment, a form of death that was reserved for those that were condemned, for criminals, and those that were destined to die. And because Christ took our punishment, our shame, our guilt, our condemnation, there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. But people wrestle with this. Even within the Catholic Church, they still practice what is called penance. You ever heard of penance? Okay. And some places, in some countries, more. I don't hear as much of it in the United States as I do in some countries. But I think like over in Spain and some of those countries, penance is very much still alive. And they will whip themselves. They'll inflict punishment upon themselves. And some even during the Easter time will do what? They'll even nail themselves to a cross, won't they? You ever seen that during Easter time? They'll do that, and it's a form of penance that somehow by their suffering and them inflicting pain upon themselves, they will be found worthy before God. Okay? That's the thought of what penance is. Luther, who was kind of the founder of the Lutheran Church, it was out of his transformation that the Lutheran Church would be birthed. But Luther would wrestle with this, with his own unworthiness, that regardless of what he did, he still didn't find himself worthy before God. So he'd take a whip, he would flog himself. He would pray, and he would lay on cold stone floors. He would deprive himself of sleep. All in the quest to somehow draw closer to God and feel worthy before God. But he just still left just as miserable. And he felt condemned and unworthy. Until he came to this passage, Romans 8, where Paul says, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And all of a sudden the lights go on in Luther's head and he goes, really? How come I'm living the way I am? And it started a transformation within his own life. I don't think Luther was perfect, but he started a reformation that says we are saved by grace through faith alone in Christ Jesus. And he came to the grip that, you know what, when I'm in Christ, there is no condemnation because Christ took that for me. And it says that when we ask Christ into our life, we're set free and the Spirit gives us life. And the first point that's in your program there is that we, in Christ, we are free from condemnation. In Christ, we are free from condemnation. And you have to stand upon that truth, because I can guarantee you, whether you're a new Christian or you're a little bit further down, you're a mature Christian, you're going to go through times where Satan's going to sneak that lie in there, and he's going to say, you're good for nothing, you're unworthy, you feel rotten, especially after you tripped up and you did something you weren't supposed to, and you feel bad about it. And there comes Satan with that lie. You're good for nothing, you're no good. Why in the world did God ever die for you on the cross? He feeds you those lies. And that's where we have to stand upon God's truth. And we have to know God's truth. Because if we don't know God's truth, then Satan just really has havoc on us. But when we know God's truth, we can go back to him and say, you know what? God, I'm sorry. I confess my sin to you. I messed up. And God extends his grace towards us. And then we can even say, you know what, Satan, you have no authority here because there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. That's what your word says, and I stand upon your truth. And as we do, Satan has to go, and the peace and the presence of God inhabits our heart and our mind. We, as sinners, have a sinful nature, but because Christ went to the cross, there is no condemnation. He took that when he went to the cross. Amen? Amen. So in Christ, there is no condemnation. Secondly, Paul goes on talking about the Spirit, how the Holy Spirit gives us life and works in our lives. Verse 5, for those who are living according to the sinful nature, and Galatians talks about this too as well, they overlap, very similar. Ooh, that's a little sound effect. All right. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what the nature desires. But those that live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death. Okay, if you follow what your sinful nature desires, it's going to lead you down a path of death and destruction. It might not be like right now or overnight, but it'll happen. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. And the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. But those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. So the only way we can ever please God is by living according to the Holy Spirit that God has placed in our lives. When does the Holy Spirit enter your life? It's not a trick question. When? The moment I ask Christ into my heart and life, isn't it? He places His Spirit in my life. And now it is our job and our duty to respond and to listen to the Holy Spirit that He has placed within us. And as we live according to the Spirit, not our sinful nature, and we talked about that in the previous week, that we are not bound to our sinful nature. We're bound to Christ, right? To obey Christ and His will within our life. Verse 9, you, however, are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. So either you do or you don't. Okay? If you've asked Christ in your life, His Holy Spirit is there. Okay? If you haven't, His Spirit's not there. It's either one or the other. There's no middle ground here. Either He is or He's not. Okay? But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Okay? We're not all dead here, but we're dead to sin. Right? We're going to talk a little more about that. We're dead to sin. Now, there's some mornings that those that lead worship might think that you're dead out there, but, all right? You weren't this morning, though. All right. Yeah, your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. You know, if you are dead, you don't have the power to move, right? Okay? If you're with a dead person, you can hold their hand. You can poke them. Are they going to move? You can give them your best joke. Are they going to laugh? No, they're not, are they? Why? They're dead. They're dead. Yeah. You don't have, in fact, if you're dead, you don't have power to move, to affect change, or to be in a relationship, right? You can't have a relationship with a dead person. They're dead. But in Christ, we've been made spiritually alive. And see, before Christ, Paul says we were dead to Christ. In other words, sin separated us from God, and we weren't able to have a relationship with God until we invited Christ into our life. And then His Spirit comes within us and makes us alive. So now, not only does He place His Spirit within us, but now we can have a relationship with the Holy God and draw closer to Him. The law could not do that. All the law could do was tell us what was right and wrong. And that's all our laws today can do. They don't have the power to change us. They just have the power to say, hey, this is right and this is wrong. Don't speed. Don't kill. Don't murder. Don't steal. Now, there are days that you can feel pretty flat, right? You ever had a day that you feel kind of flat? Not much energy? Sometimes the weather does it to us. Sometimes it can be other things. Now, are those productive days? Typically not, because we're just not, there's no energy, right? We just kind of feel, you know. And we don't get much done. But then there's days we wake up and we're energized. I don't know what it is, but there's days that we just feel, phew. And usually those are productive days. Why? Because there's that energy there, isn't there? And the same is that when we are alive in Christ and Christ is living within us, there's productivity there. His Spirit energizes us and gives us life, makes us alive towards God. So we can not only know God, but we can also have the fruit of the Spirit and live a life that honors Him. Now, we define freedom, right? Freedom is not the ability to do whatever we want to do, right? It's the freedom to do what? All right, yes. Freedom to do what is right and that honors God, right? That's freedom. To do what is right and what honors God. Freedom isn't to be able to do whatever you want to do. We sometimes associate that with freedom. But as Paul says, you know what? What I want to do, I can't do. That doesn't sound like freedom, does it? Because the sinful nature is actually controlling our lives. And Christ came to set us free. The process of God making us alive begins when we place our faith in Christ Jesus. And His Spirit is within us. And as we follow the guidance and the direction of the Holy Spirit, the sinful nature is still there. But His power has been broken. And we can live a life that glorifies God as we walk and live in the power of the Holy Spirit. Habits and thought patterns don't change overnight. It's a process. The old sinful nature is still there, but the Holy Spirit will give us life. And we'll be in control as we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Now, the illustration that I'm thinking of is being in a car, right? And how many like to drive your own car, right? How many are you are backseat drivers, all right? Yeah, some of you are. You know, before we come to Christ, who is in the driver's seat? We are, right? Our sinful nature and us. We're in the driver's seat, but when we invite Christ into our life, it means we have to move to the back seat. And who's now driving the car? The Spirit of God, yeah. The Holy Spirit needs to be in control. And often we kind of say, "Oh, I don't want to go there." We hop up in the front, we grab the steering wheel and say, "We need some excitement, God. We're going here." And the Holy Spirit isn't going to fight for that position in our life. We have to yield that right to the Spirit of God. And that means sometimes we have to, Paul says, "I die daily so that Christ may be glorified within me." And yield to the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. It's like driving that car. But see, listen, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, this is what happens. Verse 12. It says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the what? It's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. It's not like you'll die tomorrow or this moment. But when eternity comes, you're going to die spiritually. It means you'll be destined to hell and to eternity without God, which is described as spiritual death. And you're going to have to pay the punishment for your sin because you chose for Christ not to stand in your place. Christ died on the cross for the sins of the whole world, but you have to receive what He's done for you on the cross. But if the Spirit, if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, okay, die to myself, you will live." All right, okay. Just wanted to make sure. You have to believe it. "Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." The second point, if you haven't picked it up yet, is the Spirit gives us life. In Christ, the Spirit gives us life. But these last verses lead into the third principle, that in Christ, His Spirit testifies we belong to Him. He says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship or daughtership. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father," it means Father, Father. "The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." Doesn't mean that you are a God. Okay, there's some false religions that would say, you know what, you're a God, we're all gods. No. It means that you are part of God's family and He's our Father, though. And there's son and daughtership there. So we go from being an enemy of Christ to being what? Sons and daughters of Christ, don't we? The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are children, then we are... Ooh! Isn't it good to be an heir? Yeah, it means that there's something coming, right? You ever been received an inheritance? Maybe big or small? Yeah. What's the inheritance we receive for being God's son or daughter? Eternal life in heaven. Yeah. Is that a pretty good inheritance? I would say so. We are co-heirs of Christ, and indeed we share, if we share in His sufferings, we also share in His glory. Paul says, God has not given us a spirit of fear that makes us a slave again. You know, fear of judgment, fear of condemnation, fear of the unknown. There again, that's another tool in Satan's toolbox. Okay? He likes to lie and he likes to put fear in our hearts. And God has not given us a spirit of fear, Paul told Timothy, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And we don't have to fear because God is our Father, right? He's our Father. Now, is anybody here that is adopted? Anybody here? Spiritually, yeah, okay. But how many, is there anybody here that was adopted? Right there, okay. Jessica, right? Been adopted. And that's a beautiful picture. It would really, adoption would solve a lot of problems in our country. It's a beautiful thing to be able to adopt a child that doesn't have a mother and father, or for whatever case, to be adopted in. But when somebody is adopted in, they are your child legally. Even though they're not your flesh and blood, they're your child. And see, that's what God does to us. He adopts us into His family. We are His, and we belong to Him. And when God's our Father, there's a sense of security knowing that we are His, He's our Father. And no matter what comes our way, God's in control, and He loves us. Now, He's not the big guy upstairs with the big stick that's waiting for you to mess up, and He's going to thump you on the head, right? We sometimes think about that, don't we? He's our Father. And I realize that that illustration, even that imagery, sometimes falls apart if we haven't had a good father. But if you had a good fatherly experience, you know what that means. To have a father that loves you. And, you know, do children mess up? Yeah, they do. If you've had kids, you know that. They mess up. But a mother or father, they don't disown their children. They work with their children through the ups and downs. And they always extend love because that is their child. And that's what God does to us. I have the musicians come. We've all sinned. We all have a sinful nature. We're all rebels to the core, aren't we? You might not all drive Harleys and have leather clothes. And that doesn't mean that you're a rebel. But we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And we all deal with a sinful nature that's within us. None of us is immune from that. You know, and the more I matured in Christ, the more I sometimes say, God, you know, why can't this temptation thing just, you know, why doesn't that just end at a certain period of our walk with God? And it doesn't. It doesn't. We have to continually consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ. We have to yield to the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God has to be in that driver's seat. As long as He's there, we're good. But the minute we say, God, you're driving too fast, you're driving too slow, I want to do this. And we take over the wheel. That's where we have problems. This morning, just as we respond to the message, and Maybe you don't know where you're going to spend eternity. I hope we all do. But I hope you're a child of God. And if not, Christ is here this morning. And Victor and Yolanda are going to join me up front here. But today would be a good day to ask Christ in your heart and life to know His forgiveness and to know that you're a child of God where you'll spend eternity. But I also know there's probably some here that, maybe quite a few, that have dealt with condemnation within your own life. Maybe even this past week or past day, you just were overwhelmed with that sense of condemnation in your own life. That's not of God. And if that needs to be lifted this morning, we just want to agree with you in prayer so you can stand upon that, the truth of God's Word. I think of the story that's found in Luke 15. Jesus tells the story of three different lost things: a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. And the son in this story thinks he has it all together. And so he says, "Father, I wish you were dead. I want my inheritance now." And that's what he said. "I want my inheritance now," which was basically saying, "I wish you were dead." And the father gives him his inheritance. The son goes and squanders it all. Wild living, prostitutes. Before long, he has nothing. In fact, he's eating what the pigs eat on a pig farm. That's pretty rough. And it says that he came to his senses and realized, you know what, even my father's servants were taken care of. They had a place to sleep. They had good food. It says he came to his senses and he went back. And it says that the father was looking for the son. And he recognizes him coming down the road. That's a picture. The father is a picture of God, our Father. The father extends his arms, welcomes back his son. And the son says, "You know what? If I can come back and be a servant, would you allow me to just come back and be a servant and live here?" Father says, "No way. You're coming back, but you're coming back as my son." Now, he had squandered his inheritance, but he came back as a son. It's a big difference. Amen? And to live under the truth of God's Word, to realize, you know what, through the ups and downs of life, in the battle that wrestles within each of us, Paul dealt with it. We're all going to deal with it, folks. But to always be reminded that we are sons and daughters of God and that His Spirit is at work in our lives. Amen? And so, maybe God even needs to just set you free from some of the condemnation within your own life. Because that's not of Him. And to live in the freedom that's yours in Christ. So whatever God is speaking to you by His Spirit this morning, would you respond? Victor and Yolanda are here. I'll be here with you. And if you want prayer this morning, we're here. I ask you to stand, and they're going to lead us in that chorus. Denise is just to help us to seal what God is speaking to us.